We are thrilled to welcome you to the General Young Women Meeting of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints on this lovely evening on Temple Square. We are gathered tonight in the Conference Center in Salt Lake City, Utah, and similar gatherings of young women, their mothers, and their leaders are happening all over the world. You are a beautiful sight. President Thomas S. Monson, who presides at this meeting, has asked that I conduct. I am Sister Elaine S. Dalton, Young Women, General President. We are honored to have with us our beloved prophet, President Thomas S. Monson, his counselors, President Henry B. Eyring and President Dieter F. Uchtdorf, Elder Neil L. Anderson of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles, Elders Craig C. Christensen and Bruce C. Hafen of the Quorum of the 70, and Bishop H. David Burton. We sustain and honor these brethren and thank them for their inspired priesthood leadership. Also seated on the stand are my counselors, whom I love, Sister Marianne Cook and Ann M. Dibb. We acknowledge with love and appreciation the Relief Society General Presidency, the primary General Presidency, as well as members of the Young Women General Board who are present with us today. We extend our greetings to all who are in attendance this evening and to all who are participating by other electronic means. The music for this meeting will be by a choir of young women from Lehigh, Utah, Lehigh, Utah East, Lehigh, Utah North, and Lehigh, Utah South Stakes, under the direction of Marilee Webb with Bonnie Goodliff at the organ. The choir will now sing High on a Mountaintop. The invocation will then be offered by Carly Gubler, a Laurel in the North Ogden, Utah, Ben Lomond Stake.
Mountain top, a banner is unfurled. He nations now. Our dear, kind, gracious Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that we can be gathered here in the conference center this evening to hear from the leaders of our church. We pray that we may have the Spirit to be with us and that we may keep the things which we hear in our hearts and be able to use them to strengthen ourselves and also those around us. We are grateful to be thy daughters, and we are grateful that we can be here with our friends and our family, and we are grateful for the blessings that the gospel brings us. We pray that our hearts may be softened to the things that we need to improve on in our lives. We are grateful for President Monson and his counselors, and we are grateful for the General Young Women Presidency and also the board, and we are grateful that they have planned this wonderful meeting for us, and we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
The choir will now sing, "Dearest Children, God Is Near You." After the choir, Sister Ann M. Dibb, second counselor in the Young Women General Presidency, will address us. Following her remarks, we will hear from Sister Mary Ann Cook, first counselor in the Young Women General Presidency. We will then see a brief video featuring young women from around the world who are striving to be strong and of a good courage.
Dearest children,
Many times, as general authorities address the priesthood brethren at general conference, they will begin by saying that they feel as though they are addressing a mighty army of powerful priesthood leaders. Tonight, I feel as though I am standing before a mighty army of elect daughters of God. You have been chosen to move forward, standing alongside those valiant priesthood holders in righteousness in these latter days. You are a commanding and beautiful sight. I would like to begin this evening by briefly reviewing the historical context of our theme, Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Moses was the mighty prophet who led the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, where they had been slaves and had been influenced to worship false gods. After 40 years of hardship in the wilderness, they were ever so close to their new home, where they could be free to worship the true and living God. At Moses' death, Joshua was called by God to be the prophet who would complete this miraculous journey. Joshua was an influential leader. The Bible dictionary calls him the highest type of the devout warrior and indicates that his name means God is help. His inspired leadership was greatly needed because there were still many rivers to cross and battles to win before all that the Lord had promised to the children of Israel could be realized and obtained. The Lord knew the prophet Joshua and the children of Israel would need great courage during this time. In the first chapter of the book of Joshua, the Lord tells him several times to be strong and of a good courage. The word courage is defined as mental or moral strength to persevere and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. Through their courage and obedience, Joshua and the children of Israel were able to enter the land of promise and find happiness in the blessings of the Lord. Joshua and the children of Israel lived long, long ago. But in our day, we too are striving to enter a land of promise. Our greatest goal is to obtain eternal life with our Heavenly Father. In the first chapter of the book of Joshua, we find four sure guides to help us overcome our obstacles, complete our journey, and enjoy the blessings of the Lord in our land of promise. First, in verse 5, the Lord promises Joshua, "I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." We can find courage and strength in this promise that the Lord will always be there for us and will never leave us alone. We are taught that Heavenly Father knows and loves each of His children. As one of His precious daughters, you have access to His assurance and guidance through the power of prayer. In the Doctrine and Covenants we read, "Be thou humble, and the Lord thy God shall lead thee by the hand and give thee answer to thy prayers." I believe these words and promise you that Heavenly Father does hear and answer our prayers. But often, patience is required when we are waiting upon the Lord. As we wait, we may begin to believe that we have been forsaken, or that our prayers were not heard, or possibly we are not worthy to have them answered. This is not true. I love King David's comforting words. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry." No matter what you may face in your personal journey, the first guide found in Joshua reminds us to pray, be patient, and remember God's promise, "I will not forsake thee." The second guide is found in verse 7, when the Lord tells Joshua, "Observe to do all the law. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." The Lord is instructing Joshua to be strictly obedient to the commandments and not to deviate from the Lord's path.
President Howard W. Hunter taught, Joshua knew that his obedience would bring success, and although he did not know exactly how he would succeed, he now had confidence in the result. Surely the experiences of the great prophets found in the scriptures have been recorded and preserved to help us understand the importance of choosing the path of strict obedience. End of quote. A month ago, I visited a group of young women, and I asked the older girls what advice they would give a new beehive to help her to remain faithful and virtuous in every setting that she may encounter. One young woman said, "When you walk down the halls of your school, you might, out of the corner of your eye, see something that catches your attention, something that doesn't seem quite right. You may be curious and want to look. My advice to you is this: don't look. I promise you'll regret it if you do. Believe me, just look straight ahead." As I listened to this young woman, I knew that I was hearing the Lord's advice to Joshua: turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, applied to an everyday setting in these latter days. Young women, avoid the temptations that surround you by strictly following the commandments. Look straight ahead at your eternal goal. The second guide reminds us that in doing this, you will be protected and will prosper whithersoever thou goest. In verse 8, we find our third guide. Here, the Lord refers to a book of the law and tells Joshua to meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, and then thou shalt have good success. The Lord is instructing Joshua and all of us to read the scriptures. Daily scripture study, especially reading the Book of Mormon, establishes a firm foundation for your developing testimony of Jesus Christ and His gospel. It invites the Spirit into your life. President Harold B. Lee counseled, "If we are not reading the scriptures daily, our testimonies are growing thinner, and our spirituality isn't increasing in depth." Within the pages of the scriptures are countless directions, promises, solutions, and reminders that will help us in our journey to the land of promise. The third guide directs us to read and meditate on the scriptures daily so that we can find prosperity and success. After the Lord finishes speaking to Joshua, Joshua addresses the children of Israel. At the conclusion of his speech, in verse 16, the children of Israel respond to his words and provide us with our fourth guide. They answer, "All that thou commandest us, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go." As members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we have the opportunity to make this same commitment to follow our prophet, President Thomas S. Monson, who is here with us tonight. Through prayer and the confirmation of the Spirit, each of us can gain our own personal testimony of the living prophet. This testimony grows as we listen to, observe, and have the courage to apply his teachings in our daily lives. Listening to and obeying the counsel of our prophet allows us access to special blessings. Listen to some of the prophetic promises that President Monson extended to us in our last general conference. May God bless you. May his promised peace be with you now and always. Great promises await us if we are true and faithful. I invoke the blessings of heaven upon each of you. End of quote. Next week in General Conference, I invite you to listen to the instructions and the promises given through our prophet and the apostles. Then, apply the fourth guide by committing to follow the prophet's counsel and reaffirming that all that he commandeth us, we will do, and whithersoever he sendest us, we will go. At the moment, these four guides, prayer, obedience to God's commandments, daily scripture study, and a commitment to follow the living prophet, may seem like small and simple things. Let me remind you of the scripture found in Alma. Behold, I say unto you, that by small and simple things are great things brought to pass. When applied in our everyday lives, these four small and simple guides from the book of Joshua will combine to provide the most powerful source of courage and strength there is, faith in our Heavenly Father and in His Son, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father knows that our individual journeys are not easy. We are faced every day with situations that require courage and strength. A recent story in the church news affirms this truth. A teacher in a high school a few months ago began her instruction one day by asking students who supported a political issue to stand on one side of the room, while those who opposed it were instructed to stand on the other side. After students had formed their sides, the teacher took her stance on the opposing side, singling out one young woman on the side of the supporters. The teacher commenced an attack on her and the other classmates for their views. The young woman, who was a Maya maid in her ward, absorbed the assault that criticized her beliefs. She remained calm in the face of a public attack leveled by someone in authority, end quote. This young woman showed remarkable courage on her own battlefield, which on this day happened to be her school classroom. Wherever you are and whatever you may face, I hope you will take advantage of the guides found in the book of Joshua so that you can trust in the Lord's promise. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. I want to leave you with my testimony that Heavenly Father knows and loves each of you. If you will turn to Him, He will not fail you. He will bless you with the strength and the courage you will need to complete your journey back to Him. I am grateful for the scriptures and for powerful examples like the prophet Joshua. I am grateful for President Monson, who strives to lead us safely back to our Heavenly Father. I pray that, like the children of Israel, we will all enter our land of promise and find rest in the blessings of the Lord. I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Last August, we took some of our grandchildren to Timpanogos Cave National Monument, one of Utah's most popular destinations. It's a rather strenuous 1.5-mile hike to reach the cave, but well worth the effort to witness the cave's beautiful spiraling formations. I was certain that 9-year-old Ruthie would have little difficulty, but I wondered whether 6-year-old Caroline would have the strength and stamina to make it all the way. We were all very excited to begin the hike, and at first we moved rapidly along the paved trail. 1/4 of the way came quickly, but it took longer to reach the halfway point. Caroline started to get discouraged. Ruthie was doing well and encouraged Caroline to continue. We slowed down so Caroline could keep up. Then it seemed that everything went wrong. Strong winds came up, and the dust from the winds made it difficult to see. It was a little scary, and as if that weren't enough, we came across a signpost that read, "Rattlesnake Habitat. Stay on the trail. Stay safe." Slowly, we trudged along 3/4 of the way to our goal, but we still had the steepest part of the mountain to climb. Tired, scared, and doubting her abilities, Caroline sat down and tearfully declared, "I give up. I can't go any further." We sat down and we talked about what we should do. We made a plan. We decided to count our steps and see how we felt after 100 steps. Ruthie and I assured Caroline that we would help her. We were to look for something that made us happy along the way and share our discoveries. We even sang some primary songs. Things changed. Caroline made the choice to follow the plan. 100 steps made an impossible task seem doable. Caroline knew we would help her, and as we looked for the good things around us and sang songs, we felt happier. Have you ever been afraid and discouraged as you faced a challenge that seemed far beyond your ability? Have you ever wanted to give up? Imagine how Joshua, the successor to the great prophet Moses, must have felt, knowing that he was to lead the children of Israel to the promised land. At times, I'm sure he wanted to give up, but the Lord comforted him by reminding him 3 times to be strong and courageous. With faith that God would be with them, all the children of Israel committed, "All that thou commandest, we will do." The scriptures are full of accounts of men and women who show great courage to do whatever the Lord commanded, even when the task seemed impossible, even when they may have wanted to give up. What does the Lord want you to do? He wants you to be a valiant and virtuous daughter of God, dedicated to living each day so that you can be worthy to receive the blessings of the temple and return to Him. In today's world, that will take courage. You have the plan of salvation that makes it possible to do this. Moral agency, the ability to choose, is an essential part of this plan. You've already made some good choices. Before you were born, you made the choice to come to earth to receive a body and to prove yourself. You've made the choice to be baptized, which is the first ordinance required on the path to eternal life. You are now experiencing mortal life, where you continue to make choices, to learn, and to grow. Making sacred covenants and receiving the ordinances of the temple is another important step in the plan. As you are growing older, young women, the path is becoming steeper, and you may want to give up. Life is more challenging, filled with decisions and temptations at every turn. Satan will blow winds of confusion that may cause you to question if this is the path you want to take. You may be tempted to try another route, even when the signs of danger are posted. You may doubt your abilities, and you may wonder, as one young woman did, is it really possible to remain virtuous in today's world? The answer, my young friends, is yes. And my counsel to you is similar to that given by Winston Churchill during World War II. Never, never, never give up. This will take great courage, but you have His plan. What will help you follow the plan and be a valiant and virtuous daughter of God? First, gain a strong testimony, step by step. Second, seek the help of Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, your family, and others who will support you in your decision to follow the plan. And finally, live to be worthy of the companionship of the Holy Ghost. Of the importance of gaining a strong testimony, President Thomas S. Monson promised the young women, "Your testimony, when constantly nourished, will keep you safe," unquote. Your testimony is strengthened gradually through your experiences. No one receives a complete testimony all at once. You'll recall that in order to climb the steepest part of the mountain, we approached it one step at a time. To gain a testimony, you must nourish it step by step. Your testimony will increase as you make decisions to keep the commandments. As you lift and strengthen others, you will see your testimony continue to develop. As you establish personal habits of prayer, scripture study, obedience to the commandments, and service to others, you will be blessed with moments of inspiration that will strengthen your testimony. Personal progress provides a wonderful way for you to nourish your testimony. Value experiences and projects are small steps that will nourish your testimony of Jesus Christ as you learn His teachings and regularly apply them in your life. This constant nourishment will keep you safely on the path. Second, seek the help of others to give you added strength and support. Look first to your Heavenly Father through prayer. You are His daughter. He knows you and loves you. He hears and answers your prayers. We are taught countless times in the Scriptures to pray always. As you pray, the Lord will be with you, just as the Lord was with Joshua. We each need the help of the Savior to follow the plan and return to our Father in heaven. Perhaps you have made some mistakes or started down another path. Because the Savior loves you and has given His life for you, you can repent. The Savior's atoning sacrifice has made it possible for you to be forgiven of your sins. The sooner you repent, the sooner you will find the blessings that come from forgiveness. Determine now to do what is required to repent. Partake worthily of the sacrament each week and fill your life with virtuous activities that will bring you spiritual power. As you do this, you will grow stronger in your ability to resist temptation, keep the commandments, and become more like Jesus Christ. Latter-day prophets are on the earth to help you as well. Prophets speak for today. Be riveted on their words. They will give you the signposts that will warn you of danger and keep you safely on the path. The signposts specific to you are found in For the Strength of Youth. Follow the prophet. He knows the way. One of the great blessings of the plan is that we are organized into families. You have parents whose greater wisdom and experience will help you reach your divine potential. Trust them. They want the best for you. Learn from your mother, your grandmother, and other righteous women with strong testimonies. The role of a mother in the plan is to be a nurturer. Mothers, no one loves your daughter as you do. You are her best leader, mentor, and example. We hope you will accept the invitation to work on personal progress with your daughter. As I learned from working on the virtue value with my mother, your relationship will be strengthened, and you both will be blessed by your mutual love, support, and encouragement. Young women, choose good friends who will support you in your righteous decision to follow the plan. Like Ruthie, who gave encouragement to Caroline, we know that many of you can do much to strengthen each other. After you receive your young womanhood recognition, it is your turn to be the big sister. Earning your honor bee will give you opportunities to strengthen another young woman with your righteous example and testimony, and as you mentor her with her personal progress. Finally, live to be worthy of the companionship of the Holy Ghost. When we helped Caroline, looked for the good around us, and even sang primary songs, we invited the Spirit. We felt love, joy, and peace, which are fruits of the Spirit. You will need that peace and assurance when Satan tries to confuse you with winds of doubt, when you're tempted to take another path, or when others are unkind or mock you for your beliefs. Let me share with you the experience of Julie, a young woman who was able to face a challenge by following the promptings of the Holy Ghost. She was studying the Old Testament one day, and the thought came to her mind, read Matthew 5, read Matthew 5. She thought, why would the thought come to me to read the New Testament? She acted on that prompting and read in Matthew, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. The next day, she had some difficulties with her friends who were unkind and betrayed her. At first, she was very upset, and then she thought, I've been prepared for this. The Spirit prompted me to read Matthew, and I must love and pray for my friends. The small step of reading the Scriptures prepared her to respond in a Christ-like way. From that experience, she was assured that the Lord knew her, and through the promptings of the Holy Ghost, she knew what she was to do. My dear young women, I have met many of you who, just like Julie, have not given up when faced with difficult circumstances, but have chosen to follow the plan. I pray that step by step you will continue to strengthen your testimony. Seek the help of our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, and others who will support you in your decision to follow the plan. Live a virtuous life that you may have the companionship of the Holy Ghost to safely guide you. I testify that if you will do these things, the Lord will be with you, and you will be able to stay on the path that leads to the temple and to eternal life. Be strong and of a good courage, and never, never, never give up. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
We are daughters of our Heavenly Father, who loves us, and we love Him. We will stand as witnesses of God at all times, and in all things, and in all places.
I have a purpose. He has a plan. I have a witness. I know who I am. A chosen daughter of noble birth, the Father's mission to fill on earth. I'll follow His beloved Son, and in His name like Him become. And as I grow, His light will do. Temptations seem to call you by name. Be strong, when they question everything, you put your faith in every day. Be strong, and if you stand for something right and stand alone, remember through His chosen servants, God will lead you back home.
Again, my dear young sisters, although there have always been challenges in the world, many of those which you face are unique to this time.
In order to be virtuous and remain virtuous, you must be true to your divine identity and establish patterns of thought and behavior based on high moral standards.
I pray with all my heart that your faith will be increased, that you are a daughter of a loving God.
You, my dear young women, have already made many good choices. Now you must establish patterns of virtue that will keep you on this path and throughout your life.
Sisters, trust and rely on the Spirit as you take the normal opportunities of your daily life and create something of beauty and helpfulness. You improve not only the world around you, but also the world within you.
The small and simple things you choose to do today will be magnified into great and glorious blessings tomorrow. Now, can one righteous young woman change the world? The answer is a resounding yes. It is the daily consistent things you do that will strengthen you to be a leader and an example. Daily prayer, daily scripture study, daily obedience, daily service to others. As you do these things, you will grow closer to the Savior and become more and more like Him.
Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. Stand firm in the faith, for the Lord will be with us wherever we go.
My young friends, be strong. You know what is right and what is wrong, and no disguise, however appealing, can change that truth. If your so-called friends urge you to do anything you know to be wrong. You be the one to make a stand for right, even if you stand alone.
As we come to accept and act upon these values, we will be prepared to strengthen home and family, make and keep sacred covenants, receive the ordinances of the temple, and enjoy the blessings of exaltation.
I hope that you will always remember what you've learned and felt tonight. Now it will be my pleasure and privilege to address you. And at the conclusion of my remarks, the choir will sing, O Thou Rock of Our Salvation. We are daughters of our Heavenly Father. He loves us, and we love Him. I'm humbled tonight and grateful to be in your presence. The Lord has blessed me with a very clear understanding of who you are and why you're here on the earth at this time. The Lord loves you, and I know you love Him. It shows in your countenance, in your modesty, in your desire to choose the right, and in your commitment to remain virtuous and pure. Together, we have shared many choice spiritual moments. We've borne testimony in camps, around campfires, and in chapels, and in firesides. We've climbed mountains and unfurled golden banners from Brazil to Bountiful, signifying the deep commitment within our hearts to remain virtuous and to always be worthy to enter the temple. We have prayed, read the Book of Mormon, and smiled every day. And together with our mothers and grandmothers and leaders, we are working on our personal progress. And we have only just begun. This is a magnificent time to be on the earth and to be a young woman. Our vision remains the same. It is to be worthy to make and keep sacred covenants and receive the ordinances of the temple. This is our superlative goal. And so we will continue to lead the world in a return to virtue, a return to chastity and moral purity. We will continue to do all we can to help each other stand in holy places and receive, recognize, and rely on the Holy Ghost. We will continue to talk of Christ, to rejoice in Christ, that each of us will know to what source we may look for a remission of our sins. And yes, we will continue to stand firm no matter what storms may rage around us, because we know and testify that it is upon the rock of our Redeemer, who is Christ, the Son of God, that we must build our foundation, a foundation whereon, if we build, we cannot fall. The Lord's counsel to Joshua is His counsel to you today, the youth of the noble birthright. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. You are not alone. Though you may be the only Latter-day Saint in your school or in your group of friends or even your family, you are not alone. You can rely on the strength of the Lord. As Joshua said to the Israelites, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. This was Joshua's call for a return to virtue, and it is the same call to us today. We simply cannot do the work we've been reserved and prepared to do unless we can access the strength and confidence that comes by living a virtuous life. You are young women of great faith. You brought your faith with you when you came to the earth. Alma teaches us that in the premortal realms, you exhibited exceeding faith and good works. You fought with your testimony and faith to defend the plan that was presented by God. You knew the plan was good, and you knew that the Savior would do what he said he would do because you knew him. You stood with him, and you were eager for your opportunity to come to the earth. You knew that it was going what was going to be required of you. You knew that it would be difficult, and yet you were confident that you could not only accomplish your divine mission, but that you could make a difference. You are choice spirits who are reserved to come forth in the fullness of times to take part in laying the foundations of the great latter-day work, including the building of temples and the performance of ordinances therein. And now you are here to do what you have been reserved and prepared to do. As I look out at you tonight, I wonder if this isn't what Helaman's stripling warrior's girlfriends must have looked like. No wonder Satan has increased the intensity of his attacks on your identity and virtue. Because if you can be discouraged, distracted, delayed, or disqualified from being worthy to receive the guidance of the Holy Ghost or to enter the Lord's holy temples, he wins. Young women of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, remember who you are. You are elect. You are daughters of God. You cannot be a generation of young women who are content to fit in. You must have the courage to stand out, to arise and shine forth that thy light may be a standard for the nations. The world would have you believe that you're not significant, that you're out of fashion and out of touch. The world calls to you with unrelenting, noisy voices to live it up, try everything, experiment, and be happy. Conversely, the Holy Ghost whispers and the Lord invites you to walk in the paths of virtue, lay aside the things of this world, and cleave to your covenants. I've always loved the story of the son of King Louis XVI of France because he had an unshakable knowledge of his identity. As a young man, he was kidnapped by evil men who dethroned his father, the king. These men knew that if they could destroy him morally, he would not be heir to the throne. For 6 months, they subjected him to every vile thing life had to offer, and yet he never yielded under pressure. This puzzled his captors, and after doing everything they could think of, they asked him why he had such great moral strength. His reply was simple. He said, "I cannot do what you ask, for I was born to be a king." Like the king's son, each of you has inherited a royal birthright. Each of you has a divine heritage. You are literally the royal daughters of our Father in heaven. Each of you was born to be a queen. When I was attending Brigham Young University, I learned what it truly means to be a queen. I was given a unique opportunity, along with a small group of other students, to meet the prophet, President David O. McKay. I was to wear my best dress and to be ready to travel early the next morning to Huntsville, Utah, to the home of a prophet. I will never forget the experience I had. As soon as we entered the home, I felt the spirit which filled that home. We were seated in the prophet's living room surrounding him. President McKay had on a white suit, and seated next to him was his wife. He asked for each of us to come forward and tell him about ourselves. As I went forward, he held out his hand and held mine. And as I told him about my life and my family, he looked deeply into my eyes. After we had finished, he leaned back in his chair and he reached for his wife's hand and said, "Now, young women, I would like you to meet my queen." There, seated next to him, was his wife, Emma Rae McKay. Although she did not wear a crown of sparkling diamonds, nor was she seated on a throne, I knew she was a true queen. Her white hair was her crown, and her pure eyes sparkled like jewels. As President and Sister McKay spoke of their family and their life together, their intertwined hands spoke volumes about their love. Joy radiated from their faces. Hers was a beauty that cannot be purchased. It came from years of seeking the best gifts, becoming well-educated, seeking knowledge by study and also by faith. It came from years of hard work, of faithfully enduring trials with optimism, trust, strength, and courage. It came from her unwavering devotion and fidelity to her husband, her family, and the Lord. On that day in Huntsville, Utah, I was reminded of my divine identity, and I learned about what I now call deep beauty, the kind of beauty that shines from the inside out. It is the kind of beauty that cannot be painted on, surgically created, or purchased. It is the kind of beauty that doesn't wash off. It is spiritual attractiveness. Deep beauty springs from virtue. It is the beauty of being chaste and morally clean. It is the kind of beauty that you see in the eyes of virtuous women like your mother or grandmother. It is the beauty that is earned through faith, repentance, and honoring covenants. The world places so much emphasis on our physical attractiveness and would have you believe that you are to look like the elusive model on the cover of a magazine. The Lord would tell you that you are each uniquely beautiful. When you are virtuous, chaste, and morally clean, your inner beauty glows in your eyes and in your face. My grandfather used to say, when you live close to God and His infinite grace, you don't have to tell. It shows in your face. When you are worthy of the companionship of the Holy Ghost, you are confident and your inner beauty shines brightly. And so let virtue garnish thy thoughts unceasingly. Then shall thy confidence wax strong in the presence of God, and the Holy Ghost shall be thy constant companion. We have been taught that the gift of the Holy Ghost quickens all the intellectual faculties, increases, enlarges, expands, and purifies all the natural passions and affections. It inspires virtue, kindness, goodness, tenderness, gentleness, and charity. And it develops beauty of person, form, and features. Now that is a great beauty secret. That is the beauty that I observed in the home of a prophet. That day, I learned that the beauty I saw in Sister McKay was the only beauty that really matters and the only kind of beauty that lasts. Alma asks a penetrating question for each of us to consider. Have you received His image in your countenance? Recently, a group of young women visited my office. At the end of the visit, one young woman confided with tears in her eyes, "I have never thought of myself as beautiful. I've always felt very ordinary. But today, as I walked past the mirror in your office and I glanced into it, I was beautiful." And she was beautiful because her face shone with the Spirit. She saw herself as our Heavenly Father sees her. She had received His image in her countenance. That is deep beauty. Young women, look into the mirror of eternity. Remember who you are. See yourself as our Heavenly Father sees you. You are elect. You are of noble birth. Don't compromise your divine inheritance. You were born to be a queen. Live so that you are worthy to enter the temple and there receive all that the Father hath. Develop deep beauty. There is no more beautiful sight than a young woman who glows with the light of the Spirit, who is confident and courageous because she is virtuous. Remember, you are daughters of our Heavenly Father. He loves you so much that He sent His Son to show you the way to live so that you could return to Him someday. I testify that as you draw close to the Savior, His infinite atonement makes it possible for you to repent, to change, to be pure, and to receive His image in your countenance. His atonement will enable you to be strong and courageous as you continue to raise your banner for virtue. You are golden. You are the banner. And so I conclude with the Lord's words to each of us, his precious daughters. Behold, thou art an elect lady whom I have called. Walk in the paths of virtue. Lay aside the things of the world. Cleave unto the covenants which thou hast made. Keep my commandments continually, and a crown of righteousness thou shalt receive. Of this I bear my witness in the holy name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The choir, thank you for your inspiring music. We express sincere appreciation to all who have spoken. Now, it will be our privilege to hear from President Dieter F. Uchtdorf. At the conclusion of President Uchtdorf's remarks, the choir and congregation will sing, How Firm a Foundation. The benediction will then be offered by Kendrick Smaley, a Laurel in the Sandy, Utah Willow Creek Stake. President Uchtdorf.
My dear young sisters all around the world, I'm grateful and honored to be with you today. President Monson and all the leaders of the church love you. We pray for you, and we rejoice in your faithfulness. Over the years, I have been exposed to many beautiful languages. Each of them is fascinating and remarkable. Each has its particular charm. But as different as these languages can be, they often have things in common. For example, in most languages, there exists a phrase as magical and full of promise as perhaps any in the world. The phrase is, once upon a time. Aren't those wonderful words to begin a story? Once upon a time promises something. A story of adventure and romance, a story of princesses and princes. It may include tales of courage, hope, and everlasting love. In many of these stories, nice overcomes mean, and good overcomes evil. But perhaps most of all, I love it when we turn to the last page and our eyes reach the final lines and we see the enchanting words, and they lived happily ever after. Isn't that what we all desire? To be heroes and heroines of our own stories? To triumph over adversity? To experience life in all its beauty? And in the end, to live happily ever after? Today I want to draw your attention to something very significant, very extraordinary. On the first page of your Young Women Personal Progress book, you will find these words. You are a beloved daughter of Heavenly Father, prepared to come to the earth at this particular time for a sacred and glorious purpose. Sisters, those words are true. They are not made up in a fairy tale. Isn't it remarkable to know that our eternal Heavenly Father knows you, hears you, watches over you, and loves you with an infinite love? In fact, His love for you is so great that He has granted you this earthly life as a precious gift of once upon a time, complete with your own true story of adventure, trial, and opportunities for greatness, nobility, courage, and love. And most glorious of all, He offers you a gift beyond price and comprehension. Heavenly Father offers to you the greatest gift of all, eternal life, and the opportunity and infinite blessing of your own happily ever after. But such a blessing does not come without price. It is not given simply because you desire it. It comes only through understanding who you are and what you must become in order to be worthy of such a gift. For a moment, think back about your favorite fairy tale. In that story, the main character may be a princess or a peasant. She might be a mermaid or a milkmaid, a ruler or a servant. You will find one thing all have in common. They must overcome adversity. Cinderella has to endure her wicked stepmother and evil stepsisters. She is compelled to suffer long hours of servitude and ridicule. In Beauty and the Beast, Belle becomes a captive to a frightful-looking beast in order to save her father. She sacrifices her home and family, all she holds dear, to spend several months in the Beast's castle. In the tale Rumpelstiltskin, in German it's Rumpelstiltskin, a poor miller promises the king that his daughter can spin straw into gold. The king immediately sends for her and locks her in a room with a mound of straw and a spinning wheel. Later in the story, she faces the danger of losing her firstborn child unless she can guess the name of the magical creature who helped her in this impossible task. In each of these stories, Cinderella, Belle, and the Miller's daughter have to experience sadness and trial before they can reach their happily ever after. Think about it. Has there ever been a person who did not have to go through his or her own dark valley of temptation, trial, and sorrow? Sandwiched between their once upon a time and happily ever after, they all had to experience great adversity. Why must all experience sadness and tragedy? Why could we not simply live in bliss and peace, each day filled with wonder, joy, and love? The scriptures tell us there must be opposition in all things, for without it, we could not discern the sweet from the bitter. Would the marathon runner feel the triumph of finishing the race had she not felt the pain of the hours of pushing against her limits? Would the pianist feel the joy of mastering an intricate sonata without the painstaking hours of practice? In stories as in life, adversity teaches us things we cannot learn otherwise. Adversity helps to develop a depth of character that comes in no other way. Our loving Heavenly Father has set us in a world filled with challenges and trials so that we, through opposition, can learn wisdom, become stronger, and experience joy. Let me share with you a personal experience I had as a teenager while our family was attending church in Frankfurt, Germany. One Sunday, the missionaries brought a new family to our meetings who I hadn't seen before. It was a mother with two beautiful daughters. I thought that these missionaries were doing a very, very good job. I particularly took notice of the one daughter with gorgeous dark hair and large brown eyes. Well, her name was Harriet, and I think I fell in love with her from the first moment I saw her. Unfortunately, this beautiful young woman didn't seem to feel the same about me. She had many young men who wanted to make her acquaintance, and I began to wonder if she would ever see me as anything but a friend. But I did not let this deter me. I figured out ways to be where she was. When I passed the sacrament, I made sure I was in the right position so that I would pass the sacrament to her. When we had special activities at church, I rode my bike to Harriet's house and rang the doorbell. Harriet's mother usually answered. In fact, she opened the kitchen window of their apartment on the fourth floor and asked what I wanted. I would ask if Harriet would like a ride to church on my bicycle. Harriet's mother would say, "No, she will be coming later, but I will be happy to ride with you to church." This wasn't exactly what I had in mind. But how could I decline? And so we rode to church. I must admit, I had a very impressive road bike. Harriet's mother sat on the top tube bar just in front of me. And I tried to be the most elegant bicycle driver over roads of rough cobblestone. Time passed. While beautiful Harriet was seeing many other young men, it seemed that I could not make any headway with her. Was I disappointed? Yes. Was I defeated? Absolutely not. Actually, looking back, I recognize that it doesn't hurt at all to be on good terms with the mother of the girl of your dreams. Years later, after I had finished my training as a fighter pilot in the Air Force, I experienced a modern miracle in Harriet's response to my continued courting. One day she said, "Dieter, you have matured much over these past years." I thought I was mature all the time. But then I moved quickly after that, and within a few months, I was married to the woman I had loved ever since I first saw her. The process hadn't been easy. There were moments of suffering and despair. But finally, my happiness was full, and it still is even more so. My dear young sisters, you need to know that you will experience your own adversity. None is exempt. You will suffer, be tempted, and make mistakes. You will learn for yourself what every heroine has learned. Through overcoming challenges comes growth and strength. It is your reaction to adversity, not the adversity itself, that determines how your life story will develop. There are those among you, although young, that have already suffered a full measure of grief and sorrow. My heart is filled with compassion and love for you. How dear you are to the church. How beloved are you of your Heavenly Father. Though it may seem that you are alone, angels attend you. Though you may feel that no one can understand the depth of your despair, our Savior, Jesus Christ, understands. He suffered more than we can possibly imagine, and he did it for us. He did it for you. You are not alone. If you ever feel your burden is too great to bear, lift your heart to your Heavenly Father, and he will uphold and bless you. He says to you, as he said to Joseph Smith, "Your adversity and your afflictions shall be but a small moment, and then if you endure it well, God will exalt you on high." Enduring adversity is not the only thing you must do to experience a happy life. Let me repeat, how you react to adversity and temptation is a critical factor in whether or not you arrive at your own happily ever after. Sisters, young sisters, beloved young sisters, stay true to what you know is right. Everywhere you look today, you will find promises of happiness. Ads in magazines promise total bliss if you will only buy a certain outfit, shampoo, or makeup. Certain media productions glamorize those who embrace evil or who give in to base instincts. Often these same people are portrayed as models of success and accomplishment. In a world where evil is portrayed as good, and good as evil, sometimes it is difficult to know the truth. In some way, it is almost like Little Red Riding Hood's dilemma, when you are not quite sure if what you are seeing, is it a beloved grandmother or is it a dangerous wolf? I spent many years in the cockpit of an airplane. My task was to get a big jet safely from any part of the world to our desired destination. I knew with certainty that if I wanted to travel from New York to Rome, I needed to fly east. If someone were to tell me that I should fly south, I knew there was no truth in their words. I would not trust them because I knew for myself. No amount of persuasion, no amount of flattery, bribery, or threats could convince me that flying south would get me to my destination, because I knew. We all search for happiness, and we all try to find our own happily ever after. The truth is, God knows how to get there, and He has created a map for you. He knows the way. He is your beloved Heavenly Father who seeks your good, your happiness. He desires with all the love of a perfect and pure Father that you reach your supernal destination. The map is available to all. It gives explicit directions of what to do and where to go to everyone who is striving to come unto Christ and stand as a witness of God at all times and in all things and in all places. All you have to do is trust your Heavenly Father. Trust Him enough to follow His plan. Nevertheless, not all will follow the map. They may look at it. They may think it is reasonable, perhaps even true. But they do not follow the divine directions. Many believe that any road will take them to a happily ever after. Some may even become angry when others who know the way try to tell and help them. They suppose that such advice is outdated, irrelevant, out of touch with modern life. Sisters, they suppose wrong. I understand that at times some may wonder why they attend church meetings or why it is so important to read the scriptures regularly or pray to our Heavenly Father daily. Here's my answer. You do these things because they are part of God's path for you. And that path will take you to your happily ever after destination. Happily ever after is not something found only in fairy tales. You can have it. It is available for you. But you must follow your Heavenly Father's map. Sisters, please, embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ. Learn to love your Heavenly Father with all your heart, might, and mind. Fill your souls with virtue and love goodness. Always strive to bring out the best in yourself and others. Learn to accept and act upon the young women values. Live the standards in for the truth of youth, for the strength of youth. These standards in for the strength of youth are a guide and direct you to your happily ever after. Living these standards will prepare you to make sacred covenants in the temple and establish your own legacy of goodness in your individual circumstances. Stand in holy places and be not moved, regardless of temptations or difficulties. I promise you that future generations will be grateful for you and praise your name for your courage and faithfulness during this crucial time of your life. My dear young sisters, you who stand for truth and righteousness, you who seek goodness, you who have entered the waters of baptism and walk in the ways of the Lord, our Father in heaven has promised that you will mount up with wings as eagles. You shall run and not be weary, and you shall walk and not faint. You shall not be deceived. God will bless and prosper you. The gates of hell shall not prevail against you, and the Lord God will disperse the powers of darkness from before you and cause the heavens to shake for your good and His name's glory. Sisters, we love you. We pray for you. Be strong and of good courage. You are truly royal spirit daughters of Almighty God.
You are princesses destined to become queens. Your own wondrous story has already begun. Your once upon a time is now. As an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, I leave you my blessing and give you a promise that as you accept and live the values and principles of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ, you will be prepared to strengthen home and family, make and keep sacred covenants, receive the ordinance of the temple and enjoy the blessings of exaltation. And the day will come when you turn the final pages of your own glorious story. There you will read and experience the fulfillment of those blessed and wonderful words, and they lived happily ever after. Of this I testify in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
How firm the foundation.
Our Father in heaven, we thank thee so much for the messages that thou hast given us. We thank thee for our prophet and our leaders who love us so much to give us the beautiful words of counsel and advice that we have just heard. We thank thee for this church and the blessing of our membership in it. We thank thee for all that thou hast blessed us with. We thank thee for thy spirit and the love which we feel from thee. Please help us to travel home safely from this meeting. And we say these things in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.